Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present.
What?
Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Hello and welcome. Week one is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here as part of the Sports City Chefs for this NFL free-for-all. As we look back at week one, express our excitement of the weekend going from Thursday night, which is an incredible open of the NFL season. I'm back in studio here with my friends Aaron, Celia Simmons, and Barry Jordan. How are you boys doing tonight? Aaron, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. It's such a pleasure to be here with you guys on the week one recap. Man, we got a lot to talk about, so let's get through it, man.
Barry, about you, how did you feel after this weekend?
The NFL free-for-all, we're here. I'm here with you. I'm here with you, Roger. We're good, man. Even though my Giants kind of pooped the bed, listen, we're doing good things here. Sports City Chefs, call in number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 60 minutes or so. A pleasure. I haven't been on this show with you in a while, Roger, so I'm ready to go. Let's get to it.
Boys, it's great having you on. I mean, this is my first time actually hosting this, let people know. So I really need to thank you for having my back tonight and coming in and saving me out a little bit here. Okay, boys, I'm going to break it down, right? I'm going to look at it from an entertainment aspect, what the NFL actually is today. And we looked at it from a global standpoint. The two stadiums they had on Sunday night and Monday night football, to me, were like, outside, I've never seen anything like it before. The Las Vegas stadium is like a nightclub, an actual nightclub. And we was there with Bruce Buffer calling out, you know, the teams from the pits, really, like it was a fight, like it was a UFC fight. I had never seen anything quite like it. He was there with the introduction, celebrities galore, billions and billions spent, and the tax man knocking on Mark Davis's brand new house, asking him, you know, where's the money for all this, right? And then completely then on the other side of the spectrum, I was looking at the field in Washington at FedEx, the old RFK Stadium, and it was pouring sanitation water from you know, over the fans on the seats of the lower deck from the toilet systems above. You know, it was absolutely unbelievable. And this is a game going on, an NFL game, and you've got millionaire owners, the Snyder's upstairs just watching over this, and then you had that, you know, in Las Vegas. To me, it's just like a complete different two ends of the spectrum. The Washington football team, not to pounce on them right early, but it's got to be said, there's no nickname. They haven't got a name. The team owner is Dan Snyder. We know he's had his problems. But he's got an obligation, I feel, to the District of Columbia, you know, not only to just give them a good name, but also to give them, you know, a stadium that they can be proud of. They've got Thursday night football coming up against your Giants, Barry. I'm not too concerned about it. They got a good guy, Jason Wright. You know, he can deal with these problems. I'm confident he'll do that. He was a running back in the league. He's only 39, but he's got a real good head and shoulders, and I'm sure he can combat that. But to me, it was like, you know, the NFL looks good on Sunday and Monday night, but actually, when you look at what's actually going on Sunday afternoon, it ain't that good. There's still some problems. What was your takes from from just the opening weekend, the extravaganza that was the NFL. Aaron, I'll come to you first. A big win for you in Buffalo.
Yeah, man. It was huge for us in Buffalo, man. But nobody doesn't like the NFL, man. There's nothing better to sit down with your friends and your family members on a Sunday afternoon and just binge watch this drug we take called the NFL every year from SoFi Stadium to watching Reliance Stadium and Vegas to you know watching in my squad in Buffalo. And I mean it was such a extravagant situation, man. And I was pleased to sit here with my dad, who you know people who know me know it's me and my dad every year. You know what I'm saying? To sit there with my dad and just watch, you know, the Stiller game like we did, and to be surrounded by the rest of Stiller Nation at the Stiller Bar, and just watching all that sort of thing. And it was nothing like it. And I look over to my left and to my right and kind of glance at the other games, watching the Giants implode on themselves. Watching Washington fumble, you know, the game away, and you know, watching other teams just kind of show up and show out. It was a very, very, very interesting weekend, to say the least. So I was happy for what it was, and looking forward to getting the thing kicked off on Thursday in my backyard here to see what, you know, Washington and the New York Giants do to kind of set the stage for another eventful weekend ahead of us.
Awesome, man. And great that you can spend it with family as well. It must be special. Big Pittsburgh fan there. Barry, Teddy Bridgewater give you a bit of a bad day, bro. I know we was talking off air, but thoughts on the weekend, the big extravaganza and everything you went through?
Yeah, listen, you know, Sirius is right. The NFL had a great week one. I mean, a lot of underdogs. I think there was about 12 games or so that there were that dogs basically won, 9 that won outright and 12 that, you know, covered the spread. Crazy, right? Unbelievable. But, I mean, to your point, the two stadiums that were showcased, first time, you know, they were open last year, but no fans in the stands. So this year they got to be center stage with fans in the stands. I was thoroughly impressed. Two beautiful stadiums, a sea of black in Las Vegas. They did a great job there and were treated to a really good game. You know, and then, you know, there's a crown jewel in L.A. You know, SoFi is a beautiful stadium. Exquisitely done. Cool. You know, watching Hard Knocks last year, seeing it getting built, and then, you know, there was a special on one of the channels, Modern Marvels or something like that, basically watching the stadium get built. So to see that and then to see all the fans in there, it's a beautiful stadium. You were treated to a great Thursday night game. It was just all around, the NFL does it right. They're the kings of sports in the United States. They're easily the number one sport, and you see why, because they could just put on a show anywhere, anytime.
It was beautiful, like you said. And I'm starting to see the influx of it over here as well, guys, you know, with the soccer year now and how much our Americanized is becoming. It really is. I know a lot of these owners, the Levy's of the world and the Glaziers, they're coming over and buying soccer teams. Our Spurs Stadium is hosting the NFL again this year. And just how much alike it's becoming, it's quite mind-blowing. And, you know, they're building a tunnel now under the water, apparently, so we'll all be one country soon. But let's dive into the games. I don't want to go into that, politics. But let's dive into the week one overreactions, some might say, reactions, other might say something that really impressed you. I could throw some stuff at you. I'll just start with what I thought was something special, and that was Chandler Jones getting 5 sacks on Taylor Lewan in Nashville, in Tennessee, against the Titans, against Mike Vrabel's tough Titans. Kyler Murray looked good. Christian Kirk, 2 touchdown catches. One of them was an outstanding Tyler Lockett as well. The similar catch, when he looks, I just love how they do it. I mean, just look directly over the back of his shoulder, back of his neck, and just guided the ball in with his eyes to his hands. It was something special to watch. I've got to give it to Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. I was wondering how whether they were going to start the season, because they've sort of limped out during the season, but this year they look really good. And that's no mean feat. I don't think it was the Titans so much as they were bad. It was that Arizona was good, and that's a good team they beat down there in Tennessee. I won't break everything down just to throw it around, but 5 sacks, Chandler Jones, you know, John Jones' younger brother, Arthur Jones' younger brother, their mother must have had nightmares with them three growing up, but that's another story. Thoughts on that and anything that stood out for you performance-wise over the weekend? Aaron, I'll come to you first.
You know, honestly, you know, what happened in Tennessee, you know, with the Tennessee Titans and the Arizona Cardinals, I'll start there. You know, this is a Tennessee Titans team that, you know, depending upon who you talk to and, you know, what sports book you're looking at or favored or near the top to represent the AFC in this upcoming Super Bowl. So I understand that, you know, this is week one and, you know, this is a marathon and not a sprint. However, you really want to get off the blocks well. And what I saw from the Tennessee Titans just was not it. Ryan Tannehill looked befuddled. You couldn't establish the running game. You go out and make the move in the offseason to pick up a Julio Jones, and for much of that game, he was non-existent. The defensive side of the ball, you go out and, you know, you sign a free agent of Bud Dupree from Pittsburgh to be your edge rusher, and, you know, you are Mike Vrabel, and you preach, you know, defense and hard nose and you know, that type of mantra, and literally Kyler Murray looked like he was out there playing Madden on pro level. Like, he was just doing whatever the heck he wanted to do with whomever he wanted to do it with. And so you really got to look at yourself in the mirror. You know, if you're the Tennessee Titans, man, you got a formidable opponent coming up this week. So you really need to get yourself back right as you look to progress here. And, you know, I mean, you play the Seahawks, you know, this week. So it doesn't get any easier for you. You know, again, I'm not going to, you know, start talking about next week yet, but, you know, you really can't afford to go down 0-2. The statistics are not in our favor once you do that. Another thing that stood out to me, and again, I keep it brief, and again, I don't want to appear like I'm a homer here, but the way the Steelers went into Buffalo and gutted out that win. You know, we were starting 4 rookies on the offensive side of the football. 3 of 1 were offensive linemen, and we managed to get that win in a hostile environment. Again, against a Buffalo team who arguably, is, you know, again, depending upon who you look at, is the second best team in the AFC. With what they have to offer with the likes of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and you know, a coach who has cut from a different cloth. I respect the hell out of Sean McDermott and what he's able to assemble as far as the coaching staff and that defense and, you know, what he's been able to do over the last couple of years with Josh Allen and his emergence from being pretty much a bum to, you know, MVP runner-up type status. So for Pittsburgh to go in there with this makeshift offensive line and starting 4 rookies and, you know, kind of shuffling the deck, so to speak, on the defensive side of football and hold that particular team to 16 points. Or something not as spectacular. So again, I may be biased, but you know, I'm gonna pump my chest out for a little bit after that one because that was big for us.
Nothing at all wrong with being biased when it's a performance like that, my friend. I think Buffalo were heavy favorites coming in, and they made, you know, Josh Allen was supposed to have this MVP type run this season. They made him look quite average at times, and yeah, it was a tough place to go and play too. I mean. And they were pretty much written off, and it just showed how T.J. Watt impacts that team, the way he played coming back. And Chandler Jones, you know, throwing his hands up in the end, like he got paid too. So Chandler, somebody's going to pay Chandler Jones next. Now he's the next one in line. Barry, how about you? What any standout performances caught your eye? Players that caught your eye? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'll stick to this game because of course Sirius had to take it to the Steelers. He couldn't even wait for Roger to cue it. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, listen, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
You ready to go? I mean, listen, I read your article on Sports City Chefs, right? I read your article on the website, sportscitychefs.com. I mean, so I know you're giddy about your Steelers week one performance, and you should be. They had a really good game against a team that beat them up a little bit last year. You know, we'll get into that. I'm sure Raji wants to touch on that game. But I'll stick with the Cardinals game. Listen, I was thoroughly impressed with the Cardinals. I think it was asked, you know, were you more impressed with the Cardinals or were you disappointed in the Titans? And I was 50-50 on it, but once I kind of got a day to really kind of collect my thoughts, I was like, I'm impressed with the Cardinals because we talked about it on the Sunday brunch. You know, we thought the Cardinals were going to be a strong team in the West, but they were going to be the weakest of that strong division. But they put everybody on notice, like, no, we're here to play. They spent a lot of money in the offseason, brought in J.J. Watt. They got Chandler Jones back from injury. He looked like a monster. 5 sacks, to your point, Rodri, 6 tackles. He could not be stopped. He was harassing Tannehill everywhere he went. I think if Tannehill went to go use the bathroom at some point, Chandler Jones would be standing right there outside the door and be like, hey, I see you. You know, like, he was all over him. So, you know, kudos to them. Kyler Murray, you know, is a fantasy darling, a stud. He had a great game throwing to his receivers. D-Hop, Kirk looked good. They're a scary team. I mean, and in the West, you got to come to play with your A game because all four of those teams impressed. I think the 49ers probably the least impressive of all, losing that lead late and had the scrap to kind of hold on to that game. But still, every team in that division won, looked impressive in their own way. I was really impressed with what the Cardinals defense particularly did. To a Titans team that everybody thought was a little bit better, especially getting Julio Jones. Tannehill, a year off of, having a really solid campaign. Derrick Henry, they shut him down. He was ineffective. That defense, they thought they had enough to patch it together. Clearly they didn't. Julio Jones had a rough game. Vrabel came out and chastised him in public. But you know what? It was probably deserved because that was a boneheaded play he made. Not sure where that whole kind of public chastising is coming from. But, you know, listen, when you lose like that embarrassingly at home, I think everybody needs to kind of be talked about in the media and held accountable so they can get ready to play next week too. So I'm not surprised by that. But great performance by the Cardinals. Don't want to take anything away from them.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, just the standout performances that are kind of shocked in ways. But, you know, I'm moving on to a team that we've been talking about pretty much. Well, everybody talks about them all the time, really, is the New England Patriots playing against the Miami Dolphins at home. And Belichick and his old protege going head-to-head. And then Tua, the Alabama connection, Tua and Mac Jones, big rivalry there. Jalen Waddle, another Alabama product. So many Alabama players are on the league now. He was the second player in Miami history with 60 plus receiving yards and touchdown in his first career game. He was one of the players I thought was going to bust through in this draft. Just injuries last year, showed toughness in coming back and playing in a national championship game. Just phenomenal. And then, you know, quick mention of Deontay Smith as well, scoring another touchdown in the Georgia Dome, which a place he loves, in the Mercedes-Benz Dome at them. Down there, just Alabama receivers everywhere. But going back to this game, just looking at the rivalry between the both, I thought Brian Flores coached a very similar game than what Bill Belichick does and actually beat him at his own game, even though it was a bit of a thing that so close anybody could have won it, let's be honest. But I thought it was Brian Flores coaching, as well as some decent quarterback play from Tua, and Mac Jones falling a bit short, 17-16, the final score. But thoughts on that game, and does it really mean much to that division? Because we know Belichick's going to be okay, or do you think it's quite a big deal that Miami have gone up there and beat them in New England? Aaron?
You know, honestly, I think this is much ado about nothing, to be painfully honest with you. I mean, it was a 17-16 game. You know, you got Mac Jones who, you know, is making his, you know, NFL debut, was able to throw a touchdown pass in that ball game. Damian Harris was able to run the rock a little bit, you know, on that Miami defense. So with that being said, you know, this is a division game, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you and I both know that these division games, you can throw off the records, you can throw off the, you know, you can throw everything out. And, you know, it's just going to be man on man. And so with it being a one-score game, Tua didn't look all that good. I mean, he made a few plays. You know, I mean, the dude only threw for 200-some-odd yards and a touch. You know, had a QBR of close to 79. So, I mean, they got the win. So, you know, style points, you know, are relevant. The object is to get out of stadiums with wins. With that being said, I think the next time these two teams link up, it may be a little bit different, and I think it may be a little bit more on the line. So, again, but salute to Brian Flores for having a plan, for neutralizing, you know, the little bit of weapons that New England does have. And making things very, very confusing for the rookie, Matt Jones. I was very, very, very impressed with, you know, this particular game. I made a few, like, defensive games. And, you know, again, I was at the sports bar with my pops watching this thing. And, you know, you have all these different screens, you know. And so you see Arizona, you know, again, putting up mad numbers. And, you know, you see Carolina and the Jets doing, you know, goofy stuff. And then, you know, you sit here and look at this defensive, you know, slugfest. You know, you kind of had your pick of everything in that 1 o'clock slot, man. So it was fun to sit down and watch this one.
Awesome. Barry, coming to you. Is this a big deal to Belichick? Will Belichick just brush it off his shoulder like I'm sure he will? Or do you think this is a massive deal for the Miami Dolphins going into Foxborough and getting this win? Do you think it's going to be beneficial down the line? Or do you think New England is just going to get better as the season goes on and they are the better overall team?
I mean, this is a good win for the Dolphins. I don't know if it's a big win. Every win is important, especially in your division against the team that you think is going to be there. But, you know, I think it's a good win for them on the road to open the season. I'm looking at it like, you know, the Dolphins, you know, we kind of forgot they were a 10-6 team and a really good football team. I kind of disagree with Sirius, and I love disagreeing with Sirius, by the way. But, I mean, I look at it like, you know, Tua had a good game. He ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown, threw some deep balls. He looked more in command of the offense than he did last year when me and Sirius really got into it about Tua taking over for Fitztragic or Fitzmagic, whoever you want to call it, right? I think if Mr. Controversy likes Teddy Bridgewater, I feel like Sirius loves Fitzmagic a little bit, but no, it's all jokes. But I thought Tua looked good. I thought he played very well. That defense is really good in Miami. Xavien Howard, another, you know, you look up, he gets another turnover. He led the league in interceptions last year, forced a big fumble in the fourth quarter to seal the game. I thought Mac Jones looked good, mac and cheese. I thought he could have played a little bit better. I think, you know, it's hey, preseason's preseason in the NFL. When you got in the regular season, these teams are going to key on you. They're going to figure you out. So I think there was some things he needs to work on. But if I'm a Patriots fan, and I know I got Patriots fans that bother me all the time, shout out to my boys I used to go to school with, Nick and Jesse and the company. Listen, you got a 100-yard rusher in Damian Harris. I thought that was a big benefit. I think the passing game looked a little bit crisper. He threw for almost 300 yards in a touchdown, Mac Jones did. So I saw some good things out of the offense. I think there's probably some things they need to clean up. They really need Gilmore back, because I think in the back end, they would, you know, he would cover up a lot of those deep passes that Tua kind of took advantage of. So I think from that perspective, they got to figure out some ways to kind of hold the fort down in the secondary until he gets back. But all in all, I think the Patriots look fairly good. I think, you know, as the season goes on, they'll get a little bit better. So Miami catching them early is a big deal for them on the road. I kind of look at that and say, you know what? It's a little bit to do about nothing, but it's for the Dolphins, it's a nice win on the road to catch them early in the season.
Yeah, and you know, I completely agree. It's that division is going to be pretty tight, I think, all the way. rookie quarterback starting, and if especially if the Bills sort of fall off in any way, I think they can get it together, to be honest. Sean McDermott is such a good coach. I'm just going to go through a couple of results and then see if anything you guys want to talk about before we get into the other, the big games, the showcase games, then, if you will. The Texans beating the Jaguars at home. Houston's defense has played up, man. They had 3 interceptions. Pretty good. That's all they had through all of last year. So, you know, they had 3 interceptions in this game. And, you know, Tyrod Taylor, what a performance. Love Tyrod Taylor. Such a good character, good guy, being a backup. Deserved the start, I thought, and played really well. Just going through a quick Chargers.
Hold on, Rodri. I don't know if Sirius feels the same way I do. I gotta apologize to the Texans. We kind of trashed them on the show a little bit and put them in the dumpster fire and said if you Google dumpster fire, a picture of the Texans come up. They came to play. They played really well against the Jaguars. It was Trevor Lawrence's first regular season loss ever. How crazy is that? Never lost a regular season game in high school, college, and so it's his first loss ever. So, you know, and there's going to be a lot more of that. He's got to get used to it, and so does Urban Meyer. You know, he looked good. I thought he looked pretty solid, but, you know, for the most part, the Texans took advantage of a rookie quarterback, and I got to give them props. They came out. They played well. Tyrod Taylor, you know, looking like this is going to be his last chance at a real starting position, and took advantage. He played really well. Cooks played well. I thought the running game looked pretty good. So respect to the Titans, man. We give them a hard time on Sports City, but they came to play.
Yeah, they
you know,
did.
So here's the deal with that, you know. So, you play the teams that are put in front of you, and I don't think anybody here or in Vegas, you know, picked the Houston Texans to win that ball game. But I will say this: you played the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, so you know, I commend you for getting the dub there. That was big, you know. And again, if I have to wear egg on my face, you know, because I was part of the key committee who was, you know, talking about, you know, you look up the Texans logo and you see a trash can and a dunce cap and all that. I mean, I was spearheading that whole thing, you know. But with that being said, I'm going to need you to – here's the thing. I'm a Texans fan this week. I'm going to see y'all do that same thing against the Cleveland Clowns, you know, on the road. You know, so we'll see what happens with them, man. It's going to be a fun week for the Houston Texans. But, you know, here's the thing. Who would have thought that looking at, you know, the standings after week one, the Houston Texans beat first in the division?
Yeah, exactly. But it's not the NFL for me. It's like when you think you know, you never do. It's like if something always happens, they'll just throw everything out of the window. It's like all the experts, everybody was picking something wrong, you know, and everything I heard. It's just the way it is, and it's the beauty of the league, I think, is that, you know, you just never know. Urban Meyer now talking of going back into college after one game. I mean, this mention of him coaching USC, I think that'll be great for him, to be honest. I think Nick Saban come in, failed, and went straight back to college. There's an option there. I mean, from what I'm hearing for the grapevine, it's a very realistic option, but you just never know with rumors at this point. So many names being thrown out already for that USC job. And that's another topic that we can bring up if you guys want at some point. But I just want to go quickly through some NFL games before we hit the Browns game. The Browns and Chiefs in the London night games. The Chargers getting a win at Washington. Brandon Staley, first LA coach to win in his debut since North Turner in 2007. So that's pretty good for them, coming in and you know, just Herbert, the rookie of the year last year, and the win. Seattle going into Indianapolis, great performance. I thought Russ Wilson was outstanding. Indianapolis got a lot to get around. Carson Wentz, look shady at times, but he needs to just, you know, settle in there. Sure, they'd be all right. But any thoughts on those two games? Any thoughts on the Bengals?
I'll take it. I'll take a quick stab at that. You know, hope everything's okay with Fitzpatrick. Tough injury for him, but you know, thoroughly impressed with Justin Herbert. We didn't know how good he was going to be in the pros. We thought, you know, the Oregon product, you know, was going to be he had a great arm, but we didn't know if he had it, what it would take to play in the NFL upstairs and everything. But he's proven everybody wrong. This kid is for real. Keenan Allen's one of the best receivers nobody talks about. He put on a heck of a performance in that last drive to kind of seal the game for them. I love what the Chargers are doing. They're building it the right way. I wish I had that quarterback on my team. They looked really good against a really good defense. And Seattle,
you could have drafted
We should have. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, should have, right? I think at some point we probably would have had him, but you know, everybody was stuck on Danny. I'm Bitcoin. Listen, Seattle. I don't know about you, Sirius. I picked them to lose. I thought the Colts at home were going to be a slight favorite and probably win it by a couple points. Russell Wilson is still throwing bombs, and you know he is something else, man. Like I don't know if anybody throws a deep ball as good as he does in the game right now. I mean, you could probably put Mahomes in there. Herbert is another guy, but I love watching him throw the football when he's on his game. Carson looked good. Seattle, you know, and they got pressure. I didn't think they were going to be able to get pressure with their down linemen, with Dunlap and company. They got pressure on Wentz all day. I don't know if it was a product of that offensive line, but they looked good, and they took care of business in Indianapolis, so respecting them too.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to put it better. It's just you know, coaching, and Wentz coming back off that COVID thing now and his injury as well. It's like, he just didn't seem right. And I know it's a beautiful thing watching Russell that deep ball, man. It really is. Awesome. Jets and Panthers. Panthers getting a home win against New York. New York pushing them close, 14-19. Christian McCaffrey back, guys, looking good. Any thoughts on McCaffrey and thoughts on the Panthers? Yes, how do you think they're looking?
You know, honestly, for me, I need to see more of the Panthers. It was very, very, very nice to see the revenge narrative, you know, kind of take center stage when you start talking about Sam Darnold going back up against his former team. But, you know, seeing Christian McCaffrey out there catching everything and, you know, running the ball well and, you know, it was something that was very, 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 very nice to see. You know, Zach Wilson didn't play a bad game, but like the others, rookie mistakes, you know what I'm saying? Like, Zach Wilson was able to throw two touchdown passes to Corey Davis. They were pretty much left for dead until the third quarter, until they, you know, managed to, you know, to wake up a little bit. One of the things that I liked about watching this particular game was, you know, defensively, the Carolina Panthers are going to be a problem to deal with, because defensively they're just so stout, and they run to the football, and you know they got a quarterback in Sam Darnold who can really distribute the offense and, you know, do some things well. So, again, it was good to see Christian McCaffrey out there and Sam Darnold out there doing what he needs to do. So, it was nice to see.
Any thoughts on the Panthers, Barry? And also, the Bengals beating the Vikings at home. Evan McPherson, the rookie kicker, coming through with a 33-yarder in overtime. Fantastic performance from the rook, Joe Burrow. And they did say before this game that Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch, and I think he can catch. Just to say it politely, each showed up Sunday. Great performance from this group of rookie wide receivers. Aaron, thoughts on the Bengals beating the Vikings at home?
Wait, you said the villain first. Now you're going to serious? What are we doing? You gotta let the villain talk.
Nobody cares about the villain, man. Nobody cares.
Listen, I watched a little bit of the Jets game because it's local, and you know I couldn't get my red zone working right away, so I was stuck on that game. It was either that or the Eagles Falcons. I was like, oh my god, what are we doing? Where is my red zone? I'm gonna say, listen, Zach Wilson got baptized by fire in the first half. I liked how he responded in the second half. Played a lot better, moved the ball down the field, got out of the pocket, off schedule plays, started getting that offense moving. They made it a game close. But McCaffrey, I mean, he's just a stud, man. He is such a threat. It's funny when you look at running backs and say they're a threat in the backfield, running the ball and catching the ball, but none of them can compare to how good Christian McCaffrey is. It's great to see him back. The Jets, made it a game, get it to 19-14. They had two timeouts under 2 minutes to go. All they needed to do is get a stop. McCaffrey takes it off tackle for about 16, 17 yards, slides in bounds, game's over. Just like that, boom, we're done. Like, send him home. Like, so I was thoroughly impressed with his performance. The Panthers, shout out to Sam Darnold getting a win against his old team. He made some bonehead plays like he did in New York. For the most part, though, he made some good plays getting the ball downfield. It's a lot different when you have protection. The Jets didn't protect Zach Wilson very well. They couldn't move the ball. I think they made some adjustments and did their thing. Minnesota, Cincinnati. Shout out to the Bengals getting it done at home. They deserve it. It's good to see, Joey Burrow out there, after his injury coming back, moving the ball very well. I was impressed with them. They got some things to clean up. Minnesota didn't really, I think they were like flat. I don't know what you think, Sirius. I didn't think they were really flat, but I don't think they really came out to play until the second half, in my opinion. Cook played well, but it took a while to get Kirk Cousins going. He's so up and down. It's so hard to gauge him sometimes, so. But listen, I give the Bengals credit. They defended their home turf, got the win, and on to week two for them.
Yeah, fantastic, boys. I know that, two cars there, the Panthers and the Bengals, there was a great animation of a Panther running into the stadium.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. And I don't know how much work must have gone into that. With the digital stuff, they got to really make it like one step at a time for that Panther. So kudos to whoever made that, and check it out online if you haven't seen it. Anybody listening in, another great week. We've covered most of these games now. The 49ers and the Lions. TP's not here. I'd love to get his take on this. I'm sure we will later on in the week. But I thought the Lions showed some heart and embodied their coach, City Dan Campbell. Came in there, wanted to take some kneecaps off, and look, they went down early, but they showed heart, they showed fight. There's the most points scored by in week one road team in team history for the Niners, so that's a stat I picked up from somewhere, so it's out there. But unfortunately, 33-41, they pushed them, they kept it close, but unfortunately couldn't get the win in the end at home for the Lions. But our thoughts on this team, Jimmy G playing well, doing enough to keep Trey Lance off, even though just Trey Lance came in and made it, scored a career touchdown. But what's your thoughts on the Niners going forward? I know they lost most start for the season. Elijah Mitchell, the rookie, coming in there now to help with our running game. How do you feel about those? John Lynch going into the Hall of Fame as well. Congrats. Shanahan's there. Motor City, Dan Campbell. Thoughts on that, guys? Barry, come to you first on that.
The defense looks good. Bosa had a nice game. The linebackers really played well. I think they lost Jason Fournette, right, for the season two. With Mozart, I'm not sure if yeah. So That was a tough. Well, I listen. Give the Lions credit. I don't give them credit a lot just because TP's a big fan of the Lions, but they came back. Jared Goff looked pretty good in that second half and was moving the football. He couldn't get it done on that last fourth down play, but they made it close. They made it interesting. He made some nice throws. The 49ers have interchangeable running backs, so I think that kind of helps their cause for the most part of replacing Mozart. Listen, I had him for daily. He should have went off and, you know, didn't play, and then eventually he tweeted, I think, out today that he was going to have season-ending surgery. It's a damn shame because I like him. He's a really good runner. But they got interchangeable pieces. They should get it going. I think Jimmy G looked really good. He kind of led the charge. I mean, you know, he had that one play where he probably shouldn't have thrown it, made a nice throw to Deebo Samuel, and then Samuel fumbles the ball and gets it right back to him. So that was tough for them. So, but listen, for the most part, I guess I could say I was impressed with the 49ers, but I think, you know, they got to clean that stuff up. They were up big. They can't lose a lead like that, even though you're on the road. Put them away and don't leave any doubt.
That's true. Serious. Jeff Okuda going down for the Lions at corner as well. Huge loss for him. First round pick, fourth overall, I think. Going down for the Lions.
Yeah.
Serious thoughts on the Niners and the Lions going forward. Tough losses on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, so for me, I'm not going to really spend too much time talking about the injury aspect of situations because, unfortunately, Raheem Mostert has been a guy who's been on the shelf more than he's been in the lineup helping his team win. So I wish him a speedy recovery. And, you know, going forward, same thing could be said for Jeff Okuda, who, you know, again, actually know, you know, coming out of Ohio State as a Penn State fan. But the situation at hand was, I don't want people to read more into this game than what it was. Like, this game was in hand, and then I guess the 49ers took their foot off the gas, and the Lions kept fighting. And so if you look at Jared Goff, you know, his stat line, and, you know, it's impressive. If you look at, you know, these receivers, their lines are impressive, and, you know, and again, albeit it was a, you know, an 8-point game or something like that at the tail end of things. But I need to see that type of a production. I need to see that type of urgency. I need to see you be able to click with the receivers and your eligibles when the game is in question. You know, we don't need you to be down, you know, 25, 28 points before you whip the heck up and start, you know, clicking with your peoples, because then, you know, you're giving people false sense of hope and false sense of reality. And, you know, those of us who sat there and watched this game in its entirety and, you know, sat there on the All-22 package and, you know, kind of broke it down from, you know, the coaches' camp, understand that, you know, once again, the Detroit Lions got beat in every facet of this game. You know, up front in the trenches, on the back, and, you know, with receivers running all day long, you know, Elijah Mitchell could pick any type of hole. Hell, I think he still broke off. I think he just broke off another touchdown, you know, because he's still running. The other thing that I need to really stress is the fact that, you know, this whole trickeration aspect of things, you know, the Taysom Hill type, you know, mindset that's going on right now with these rookie quarterbacks. You know, there's multiple rookie quarterbacks that are in this league this year with the same skill set. You can, you know, Justin Fields is another guy that comes to mind where, you know, these quarterbacks are going out to start, and then you're going in there and giving them a play or two to run a gadget or gimmick or something like that, and getting them out of there. I don't like it. To be painfully honest with you, I think you're doing them and the team a very big disservice, because let's keep it a buck with you. When these guys go in the game, you know, they're not really throwing the ball, even though Trey Lance did throw the ball once. They're running the rock and they're doing, you know, read option type stuff, and that's a good fire way to get your future quarterback, you know, in a lot of trouble.
It's a good way to get him hurt. It's a good way, you know, for him to, you know, throw the ball in a situation where it can be picked off or, you know, whatever it can be. So I'm not a fan of it. I really wish the offensive geniuses that they claim to be would actually stop and realize that. If you want to put your faith in Jimmy Garoppolo, put your faith in Jimmy Garoppolo. Let the man run the ship. Don't keep, you know, flipping back and forth and doing that. That's just stupid.
Yeah, I think agree. I think when Colin Kaepernick was doing that, they come back and, you know, the Ravens defense is playing on that. You know, they had a plan for him and he was getting hammered. You know, it's only so long you can do it for serious. I completely agree. I think Lamar Jackson does it in a different way. I also think Jalen Hurts, who I'm about to get into now, does it in a different way too. But, you know, and I think if you've got two quarterbacks, you haven't got no quarterbacks. I'm of that old adage. I know they put in this Taysom Hill type of packages and stuff, but let's be honest, they are not starting quarterbacks. I mean, you know, you can do that with your rookie and you can do it with Taysom Hill, but you're not getting that start in money. I don't think he's going to, and I think they'll move on from him. But it's like, it's interesting. It's so fascinating. It's not like it was. The game has changed so much now with these different packages, and you can keep players happy by bringing them in these packages. So I suppose that works. But moving swiftly along, we've only got about 10 minutes left of the show, just under. Look, Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith, I think it's going to be a connection we're going to see a lot of. They went into Atlanta, got a fantastic win, I mentioned. The Saints beating the Packers at home. Jameis Winston, 5 touchdown passes. That's a career high for him. That laser surgery on his eyes have worked, guys. I think it's worked. I think it's proof of that. 38 points to 3. Do you think, quickly, do you think the Aaron Rodgers preseason stuff was a distraction to this team, or do you think we don't really know what's going on in that building? Barry, you know, do you think the Aaron Rodgers distraction preseason was a thing, or do you think it was just they fell on their ass against the Saints, and the Saints were that good? Jameis Winston with 5 touchdown passes.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think him not playing, I think he might have had a little rust, but, I mean, yeah, obviously it was a distraction the whole summer, so there's no way around it. He wasn't around. He wasn't there. He wasn't helping. So, I mean, I'm not surprised, but, I mean, I've never seen him play this bad. And, you know, it was really bad. And to hear the coach say it's unacceptable, but then hear him say, well, it's just one game, total disconnect. That's the whole problem that's been going on the whole off season after the NFC Championship game, just total lack of communication. So I think from that perspective, there's a problem. And I hope they get it figured out. Give the Saints credit. Their defense played really well. They got after them. They put pressure on them. I think the offensive line for the Packers is a problem. You know, that defensive line with Cam Jordan really got after him. Winston just made the right throws. Just made the right throw. He didn't throw for over 300 yards. He had the 5 touchdowns, but he just made the right plays. The plays that you wish he had made in Tampa Bay, checking it down, making the right read, reading the defense. He just did everything right. So respect to him, and you know, I hope they keep building on it. But I know it's one game, but I'm not liking what I saw out of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
It is a bit of a worry, isn't it? I agree. I just I didn't think they'd get beat like that. I knew that. Like, all right, to lose week one is a thing, but to lose like they did. I mean, I don't think they played 11 plays and they were 17 points down. I watched the game back and it's like they were down 17 points without playing that in 12 plays. Serious. I mean, thoughts on that? And then we'll go quickly into the Monday night game as well. But can you give me some thoughts on the Browns and the Chiefs?
Oh, yeah, no problem. I can do that, and I can do the Packers one as well. The Browns and Chiefs game. It was weird to kind of, to say the least. You know, I'm not gonna you know, spoil too much. I dare just write about it. But the thing is, The Browns had their opportunities and they let it get away. They had Kansas City on the ropes. They were able to run the football and then run it back fumbles. Mm-hmm. They were able to move around a little bit and, you know, make things very uncomfortable for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they let them off the hook. You know, they started the third quarter with a 22-10 lead. You know, you have to win that ball game. So, but with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and the game, I think, and again, people are going to laugh at me when I say this, I think he doesn't like playing in Florida. You know, if you look over the course of Aaron Rodgers, yeah, if you look over the course of Aaron Rodgers' career, when in the state of Florida, he plays so badly. Now, granted, you know, I'm sure Russ had a lot to do with it. And what have you, but I will say this about Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers. They have the perfect get-right medicine waiting for them at home next Monday night. They play
they play a lot. Well, I mean, let's wait and see.
We don't want to. I think they are going to go off. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, you know, I'm not making much ado about it. You know, it was one game. Every quarterback has a bad game. Everybody, you know, lays an egg every once in a while. I think if Aaron Rodgers had showed up to camp and did all the, you know, the preseason stuff and the OTAs and stuff, and he had this bad of a game, this would be nothing. But because he didn't, you know, this is now a thing. So I'm not really much into it.
Just a real quick, Roger, to add on that, I want to kind of chime in on that. I agree with Sirius. They didn't play a full game. It was discouraging to see them run the ball so effectively with Hunt and Chubb and really pound them and then just let off and just stop running the ball. I think they panicked when Mahomes started scoring and getting the ball to Tyreek Hill, who they need to double cover. I don't know why they think that they can single cover him. They've done it, and they did it in the playoff game they did last year. You can't single cover him. He went for 200-plus yards. The thing is, they kind of really took the foot off the gas. If they had kept grinding it, kept running the ball, stopped panicking, they would have won the game. I think Odell Beckham coming back will be a difference. I think, if anything, the Browns said, we can play with these guys, we just have to play a full game. I think they're a dangerous team to be reckoned with. I think they deserve to be in that conversation, not in the Chiefs level, but probably with the Steelers, the Bills level. They deserve to be in that conversation.
I agree. It was frustrating. I was such a big fan of Nick Chubb. But this is a start. The Cleveland Browns, I've only got one win, 21 losses, and one draw in season opener since 1999. Only one win in the season opener since 1999. That's an incredible start. But anyway, let's go to the Sunday night game. We know the Rams and the Bears, but also the Monday night game as well. I want to sort of cover on both. It's the Rams, Matthew Stafford. He played so well. So great to see MVP-like performance. And Gruden's play calling at the last drive in overtime brought the field goal team out, put them back in. Thoughts on the game as we wrap the show up, guys? We got 7 minutes, so just thoughts on the. Let's go to the Rams first. Thoughts on the Rams? Are they serious contenders this year? 5-0 in Week 1 games under Sean McVay. Got them playing really well. Was it bad opposition? Aaron, what do you think, bro? Is it the Rams or the Bears in that incredible performance?
In my opinion, it's the Rams. You know, you go out and get your guy. You know, you go out and, you know, make the splash and pick up a Matthew Stafford, and you have this game circled. You want to debut your new toy and your new building with your fans and all that sort of stuff. So they're going to be a problem. They're going to be a massive problem, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Matthew Stafford, his accolades, you know, speak for himself, and I just think that he wasn't really awarded an opportunity to compete, you know, at the highest of level with the talent and the situation that he was given in Detroit. You know, he was able to accumulate stats and yards, but I think with him being in Detroit and everything, I think that kind of crippled him, so to speak, from achieving his potential. You put him with, you know, McVay, and you put him with the assortment of weapons and receivers that he had at his disposal, and you back that with one of the best defenses in the league. I think the Rams are going to be a massive problem.
Yeah, I agree. Barry, thoughts on that game? SoFi Stadium on a Sunday night. Showcase game. I think we were blessed with showcase games globally. Just an incredible advert for the NFL. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. Total win. We talked about that to open the show. But I agree with Sirius. The Rams are going to be a problem. I love Stafford. I think he had a phenomenal game to open up, show that he can lead a team. He has some toys. McVay has his new quarterback as a toy. He was throwing the ball down the field, moving the pocket with the rollouts. The defense looked pretty good. Bears need to go ahead. When they're ready, I will give them that. Hurts is the guy, and they got to put him out there. I mean, Justin Fields, I'm sorry. Justin Fields is the guy. They got to get him the ball. Let him go out there and play football. The Monday night game, I think it's the Ravens that are the problem. I think the Raiders played a good game. They have a really good offense. The defensive line played a lot better than I give them credit for. But the Ravens, I didn't like what I saw. The defense, you know, I'm used to seeing better defense than the Ravens. They had guys running down the field open, blown coverages. That's when you're losing your best corner in Peters. But the offensive line didn't block for Jackson. He was running the ball. He was running all over the place. They ran the ball pretty well. I liked what I saw from Williams. I think Murray and him are going to be pretty good. I got Williams on my fantasy team, so I hope he can kind of pick up the slack. But, I mean, you know, Jackson, even when he wasn't running around, he was throwing the ball inaccurately, missing throws. I mean, he had an easy throw. I think it was a third down play where he had Andrews over the middle in a soft zone, missed him, threw it to the flat, and threw it ahead of him and missed the throw, an easy throw. So it was plays like that that kind of discouraged me. I think the Ravens are in trouble this year.
Yeah, completely agree. I think the injuries have sort of pulled up. Even though Tyson Williams, I thought he played quite well at running back. That line at Villanueva had no answer for Max Crosby all night. Gruden just targeting Darren Waller as well. Serious. He had some looks last night. He had to catch a ball at some point. I think he had over 20 targets. So I just need to want your opinion. Then we can close it up. Serious thoughts on the Raiders and your closing points, and then I go to Barry with this.
You know, honestly, man, hit the thing with that game, man. I wrote about it this afternoon. The Ravens are in some serious trouble. They really are. Offensively, they really rely solely on Lamar Jackson's athleticism and his heroics to make plays. I honestly believe that that's going to be a recipe for disaster going forward. The Las Vegas Raiders are a solid squad that really is coming into its own. Darren Waller is as good as advertised. He's always mentioned in the same breath as a Travis Kelce and all those type of guys. So, it's going to be fun to watch them. We actually play the Raiders this upcoming Sunday in Hinesville. That's actually the game of the week.
That's going to be a good game.
You know, amongst a bunch of circles, man. It's going to be a good one. With that being said, man, it's such a pleasure to be here with you guys this evening, man. Looking forward to doing a lot more of these, man. Definitely check out the SportsCityChefs.com. We got blogs coming out. We got finger food dishes coming out, man. We got breadcrumbs coming. I mean, there's so much stuff coming, man. NFL provides us such a plethora of content, and you know, we eat that stuff up and we just spit it back out to you guys. And that's definitely, you know, check us out, man. You know, those of you guys who are on the apps or whatever, Clubhouse, man, we're on there over there doing some things, and you know, there's a good partnership with Groove and those guys, man. And you know, be on the lookout, man. Things are starting to come together for us, man. So definitely be on the lookout. Don't be shocked if you hear our voice on a much bigger stage sooner rather than later, man. It's such a pleasure, man. See you guys next time.
Listen, I'll pass around my back tonight and come in and help me out. Barry, 1 minute left. Quick close out from you, and then we close the show down. I just want to say thanks, Barry, for helping me out tonight and coming in and helping me. I'll leave it with you to close us out.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Roger, great job, man. Love doing the show with you. Can't wait to do another show with you. But listen, Sports City Chefs, get to the website, the blog, the interviews. We got exclusive content on our YouTube channel that we're starting to post. So I posted finger food like Sirius said, Sirius got his articles. I got my articles. More coming. Roger's got soccer content coming. Got some MMA content. We got a lot of stuff cooking, man. We got big things planned. Shout out to the boss, man, TP Timeless. Shout out to all the hosts. We got the cookout tomorrow, baseball buffet Thursday or Friday, one of the two. And I know TP is dying to get back into the college football. Love doing that with him. So, listen, we got a lot of stuff coming. Check us out. New merch is on the website. Get the merch. And on that note, as TP Timeless would say, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.